Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Hello, Rowdies families, and welcome back to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel all over the place, from one end of the internet to another, from one end of the skyway to the other, I guess, at this point. My name is Matthew Cox. That hasn't changed, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Wilcox. And for the next 45 minutes or so, probably not 45 minutes this time, to be honest, probably not going to get that far for a number of reasons. We're going to talk about the most recent results, the news, and take a look ahead to this week's match. Let me tell you, one reason I don't think we're going to go 45 minutes is, and this happens to me every year. You think at some point I would get used to this or I would like understand this, but I was doing something like Wednesday, Thursday last week, and it hit me that this week right now, it's currently 7:39 p.m. on Monday the 24th. July 24th, that this was my last full week of summer break, which is kind of a joke because I've been working in my classroom the last week or two because I've been moving and I have to reorganize and streamline stuff. And I'll be in there all this week and, you know, probably a couple days next week too. But I start like trying to get myself used to that wake, that like school year wake up time again, which for me is like 5 a.m. So this week it was setting my alarm for 6 a.m. And after like a month and a half of no alarm whatsoever, I had not coped well with that this morning. And then I get to school to try and do some work and power is off. There's no power. There's no AC. Luckily, the water was working because I needed to go use the facilities, and the light from my cell phone kept me from having to do that in the total darkness. But power came on at about 10 o'clock, went off again at about 10:30, and at noon, I'm like, screw it. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm going home. I work on some stuff tomorrow. So I'm already exhausted, and I have like all the curtains and blinds shut. I'm ready to make it like an early night, but I got a busy schedule coming up this week. You do too. This is kind of the only time we could get together to do this. So we're going to do this and put this out there. Hopefully that means we will get some important news coming tomorrow, because that's what usually seems to happen when we do a show. Although I don't know if I'm going to have this ready to go tomorrow. It might be like Wednesday, maybe Thursday before it goes out there. Anyway, been rattling on for long enough. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
It has been a busy week.
Busy week at work for the weekend.
Because no days off for this guy.
And I'd like to say that I watched the game live, but I ended up working that game until well into the second half.
So I missed most of this game live, but other than that, life has been good. I had planned, staying busy, unlike you teacher folks, did not have much summer off. I used this time to work excessively.
I mean, other than time I spent in the hospital, I've been doing a lot of stuff too. I keep running into people when I'm at school and they're like, why are you here? And I'm like, look, there are fewer snacks around this, my classroom, than there are at home. It's just a better situation all around if I do this. So I had planned on going up to the, in fact, I had tweeted about it, which is usually what causes bad things to happen. I guess it's not called tweeting anymore. I'm going to call it tweeting. I don't care what they say. Had planned on coming up to the watch party at Colony Grill because wanted to hang out, hear good things about their pizza. Figured I'd go up and give it a try, and picked up a nail in my tire, as I frequently seem to do on Saturday morning. So didn't make it up there. Didn't get to see Oppenheimer on Sunday either. But I did get to see the World Cup and then the Women's World Cup on Friday night, and a mildly amusing little halftime show involving some guy named Messi. And so, yeah, you know, I got some of the important stuff done. So ended up staying home, watching it on TV. In hindsight, retrospect, whatever you want to call it, I'm kind of glad I did not drive to downtown St. Pete to watch the 0-0 draw. And then drive back because the weather was really crappy at my place around the time I would have been coming home. Like, Skyway would have been clear, but just as soon as I would have gotten over the Skyway, it would have been awful. So not totally upset about that. So speaking of that, let's break down this game. Nothing happened. Like, they looked better.
Yeah.
They looked better than they did against Birmingham. It seemed a little more... you know, what we're kind of used to. Still, yep. No goals, no goal in the Stuart Dobson era. And really, honestly, the only kind of news to come out of there, Forrest Lasso did pick up his 7th yellow. So he'll go into this weekend's match on a accumulation warning, one more, and he will be sitting out for a game. And then also Sebastian Dalgard had to sub out injured early in the game, was replaced by Jake LaCava. Ben, what did you see? So you went back and rewatched it. What did you see? Anything that looked different, looked better, looked worse? What did you notice about the game?
So I really feel like this is a tale of two halves. And the first half I'm a steal John Morris, so I apologize, but
you do good work, so I got to give it to you.
He pointed out the fact that Indy came out in a very similar lineup that we had as far as positionally. And it looked as stymie anything we were trying to produce in the midfield. And therefore, they were able to gain more attacking opportunities in the first half. For some reason, that last third we just didn't quite have in the first half. Looks like Dabo made some good changes in the second half, and if you look at the second half, I think we looked much better. We definitely created more chances. The final touch was right there. But I would say the second half looked a little more dangerous.
Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of take out of this one, was there?
It was just a good defensive game.
Carlos Crow had a couple really solid saves.
Our defense played well, as we expected to, as they've been playing the last few games.
I think if I had any changes, anything different, I would have liked to see Cal come on in the 73rd or 74th, I think it was. I would like to see him come on a little sooner. I would like to see him change up the behind the scenes a little more. JJ had a good game. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I would have liked to see what Cal could have done. Maybe the 66th, 66th, give him a little more time to build the game. Now, do those two early yellow cards change up things a little bit? Is injury to Dalgard mess with the way that we attack? Because Dion has to come out fifth. I don't know, man. It's tough to say. It was a good game. It wasn't a lot you can take from it. It was better than the previous game. I think it was better. I think it was more dangerous. But, you know, on all the posts on social media, you take the point on the road, and you head on. You just take it. I mean, if you want to win your games at home, at least tie the tie. So, look, I'm not upset about the result.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, picked up the point, which is better than not getting anything. I'm still a little uneasy with the lack of production, especially against an Indy team that has conceded goals and has not done well all season. It felt like there was opportunity there, and you know, we were not able to capitalize on it going into the game. I don't know what the problem is. It's easy to point and say, well, it's because Neil's gone. Well, Neil's not the one out there taking the shots to begin with. But whether it's coincidental, there's been this downturn in especially in attacking for a team that has the third most goals in the championship. But you know, a week ago it was tied for second, and a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, it was, you know, one or two goals out of first. Like, it you know, once is an event, twice is, I don't know, maybe twice is a coincidence. I don't know. At what point do you start to get worried offensively, though?
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, no, I mean, I'm with you. I think there's definitely some concern there. But let's be honest. Look, I mean, if you look back at the last games for Indy, they only let in six goals. So that's only a goal a game.
And that's not to say that we should still be able to score against them. But
Andy wasn't going to, I mean, traditionally, if you look at history, it tells you the last games,
the opportunity to get a goal in this game.
And look, we almost had Dennis on us. If it wasn't for an incredible save off, almost a line defender, I mean, we had a chance. They're just off by a fraction of an inch.
What's the old Money Duck thing?
A quarter of an inch in the other direction would have been a goal. Yeah, the other direction
completely misses the goal.
Right.
I mean, this is what it was. I mean, it's
we had our chances.
I mean, now coming home this week, you know, I think it's a different story.
I think there's an opportunity this week for sure.
Plus, it's a home game.
And I got a feeling, not playing on that turf field.
It's got to be a target because there's a number of times that ball gets stuck under our feet.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I was just kind of thinking of this, and we used to joke about it when. By the way, I was just going to say now that I'm mentioning Dan. First off, happy birthday, Dan!
Hey,
congratulations on almost being in the same decade of age as me, and I assume you also.
Yes, sir.
But also, when I was out at Shamrock on Friday for Women's World Cup, had a lot of compliments about the. Whatever we're calling, like, was this version 3.0 of the show now, or 4.0? I'm not sure,
but like
lots of compliments. So
that's good. Happy to hear that.
So that was cool.
I've been enjoying this a lot.
But what I was just kind of thinking about is we used to joke about this on the show, that, you know, July rolls around and we kind of go into this little, you know, a little bit of a swoon, or, you know, the doldrums or whatever you want to do in the summer. It hasn't been as bad this year, but, you know, it is July, and it's not an uncommon thing to see the Rowdies kind of struggle a little bit with form and results in July. Unfortunately, this weekend game is also July, but it's pretty close to the end, so maybe we can round up a little bit and just pretend it's August and get a result from it.
I hope so.
All right, so
we need one.
Yeah, like I don't even have like a good, bad, ugly for this game, because it just didn't seem like there was that much of any of that.
I mean, that's why we even said there's just a triangle 45, but there's not a lot to take away from this one.
Yeah. Normally we go into like some league and some club news, and there's not really a ton of that stuff either. They are still being extremely tight-lipped and hush-hush about the coaching search. So I just want to kind of run through the standings here real quick, because there were some interesting results and some you're starting to see some definite, like, you know, groups starting to form in the standings. Like the top two or three are, you know, clearly like the top three, and then there's like a kind of a second tier, and then the rest. So Pittsburgh still on top, but the margin has narrowed a little bit because Charleston was able to get a result against them. Pittsburgh has 38 points. Charleston in second with 36. Both of those teams have played 21 games. So Tampa Bay coming in this weekend, and you know, we can look at, you know, we had a loss and a draw in our last two after the 11 game unbeaten streak. We're still sitting on 35 points. So a win from being statistically tied on points with the top of the division, and we would have one more win total if we got there than Pittsburgh, then that would kind of put us on top. And also a game in hand. We've only played 20. So Charleston and Pittsburgh both have 21, so we've got a little bit of an advantage there on them. 5 points behind the Rowdies is Memphis, who we have not played yet. Memphis has a game in hand on us. Birmingham sitting in fifth with 29. Louisville tied with them on points with 29. Louisville's lost three straight.
I know.
It's shocking.
For one way or another, I don't know that you're going to get the Tampa Bay Louisville Eastern Conference final. You might not get. I mean, Louisville's not even in position to host a playoff game at this point.
Nope.
They're in there, and they're kind of cooling, you know, clearly settled into the playoffs, even though they're in spot six out of eight, but they've got a 6-point lead over the eighth place team right now. This weekend's opponent, Tulsa, 28 points, sitting in seventh place. They've won five in a row, but I want to talk about that streak in just a few minutes. Detroit has, on the back of two straight wins, has claimed the eighth spot for right now from Indy, but are only 1 point ahead of Indy, and Indy has three games in hand on Detroit. Indy's only played 19. Detroit has played 22. Indy on the outside looking in, 1 point back, like we said. Loudoun United at 20 points in 10th place. Miami FC with 20 points in 10th place. And bringing up the very bottom is Hartford Athletic, but their new head coach, I don't know if he's permanent or interim, finally got a win after they had lost quite a few in a row, got a win on Saturday night. So that was good for them. So last 2 weeks haven't really felt that great, but we're still in really good position overall. It kind of feels like we're talking, I don't know if we're talking about the Rowdies or the Rays at that point right there, but you know, we're hanging in there. So let me talk a little bit about this weekend's match. First off, this is the Pride Night match. Unfortunately, I won't be there. I'm heading out of town on Thursday. I won't be back until Sunday afternoon. So I'm going to miss this one, unfortunately. Kind of bummed about it, but it's the way it is. Tulsa is 7-7-7 on the season, currently sitting in seventh place. This all seems like omens, but they're only 2-4-4 away. So Rowdies have, you know, kind of that that advantage, at least that they're going to be at home. They are, however, 5-0-0 in their last five. They have won their last five matches. Yep, and I'm never one to poop on five straight wins. Like, unbeaten streak is one thing, but a winning streak like this is always a good thing. However,
yes,
just want to point out that the five wins have come against Detroit, at Indianapolis, versus Miami, versus Hartford, versus Rio Grande Valley. So that is, if you take the Eastern Conference team, those four teams are four of the bottom five in the Eastern Conference right now. And Rio Grande Valley is next to last, I believe, in the East. Still, you have to go out there and beat them, but it's not five wins against, you know, Sacramento or San Antonio or Pittsburgh or Charleston. Like, the Rowdies are going to be the toughest team they've faced in a while since this streak started, which was the game before that the streak started. They lost 4-0 to Memphis. So,
and none of these
their confidence is going to be up, obviously, because of this streak. And right, it feels like we're, you know, maybe not doing that well confidence wise at this point coming in. But, you know, coming back home will be a good opportunity for them. Tulsa won their last game 2-1 versus Rio Grande Valley. This is the first time that Rowdies have played them this year. I believe they go to Tulsa in a return match in like two or three more weeks. What are your thoughts on Tulsa, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the points that I was going to get to, which is, you know, I mean, the last five games, four have all been at home for FC Tulsa.
So, I mean, whether or not we want to say it, that has an effect.
So, you know, look, that's five home games again. Three of the worst in either Eastern or Western division.
So also none of those games were blowouts.
I mean, it's not like they sat here and blew anything out of the water.
They barely scraped by.
Either one goal win or like a 3-2 or 2-1.
It wasn't anything insane.
There was no big blowouts here.
Again, to your point.
Yes.
Five-game winning streak is a five-game winning streak.
If we had a five-game winning streak, I'd feel pretty damn good about that, too.
So you can't take that away from them. You got to win your supposed teams. They did.
But I think there's an opportunity here, especially for us coming home,
to really get ourselves a good win here.
I mean, they are susceptible.
If I remember correctly, they have 27-4 and 31 against.
And in the last five games, they've let in five or six goals.
So against bottom competition, for a team that's having a hard time finding the back of the net, this might be the right opportunity.
Yeah, they do not keep a lot of clean sheets. I think 4 or 5 on the season overall out of 21 games. So not too often from there. Their last game, they won 2-1 versus Rio Grande Valley, and they finished that game. Rio Grande Valley finished that game with 9 men. Second sending off was in like the 83rd minute, and they were and Tulsa was already up 2-1 at that point. So it's not like you're pushing, although maybe you want to try and make a goal, maybe get in the positive side of goal difference somehow, or at least make progress towards that. But they had a one-man advantage like for two-thirds of the game, and it was already, I think, 2-1 at that point or 2-0 at that point. So it's they didn't do a lot with it. Again, they didn't have to. So they look really strong on paper right now. But, yeah, I think, you know, they may come in overconfident in coming in here, and Tampa Bay is, you know, kind of back against the wall at this point, which sounds like a stupid thing to say. Like, they've lost and drawn the last two games. They were unbeaten in the 11 before that. They are 5 points ahead of the closest team behind them, and they're 3 points out of first. It sounds weird, but, you know, we're not used to you know, back-to-back shutouts and 1 point in two games. It kind of does feel like that at this point, even though I don't think it really is.
But, you know, in a world of what have you done for me lately, that's a natural feeling, right? Because, you know, these are first two games post-Neil.
And there's always going to be pressure on the coaching staff to perform.
Especially the way they performed the last game for Neil.
So, I mean, there's pressure here.
Now, can we figure it out? I think so.
I definitely like to see Cal start this game.
With JJ up top, I'd like to see that starting lineup again.
Right.
But I know the issue is going to be how long Dayon go for. And who do you sub on for Dayon afterwards?
Do we do another thing like we did last time, push the Kava outside?
Bring on Jan Ekra, 65th, I mean, how do you balance that? I don't know, this is a problem that Dabo's gonna have to figure out.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see some training pictures on the Twitter account to see, how bad was Dalgard's injury? Is he training? Is he recovering? I haven't seen or heard anything more about him. We'll have to wait and find out. Tulsa is led by Philip Goodrum in goals. He's got 7 on the season. Former USF soccer alumni Marcus Epps has 6. They've got 2 other players tied with 3. Moses Dyer has 4 assists on the season. Milo Yosef has created 28 chances. And then we talked about the goalkeeper. They've had one guy play 20 of their games. Michael Nelson has 61 saves, 4 clean sheets, and conceded 29 goals. And then Austin Wormell has stepped in for – now, they've only played 21, so I'm guessing Nelson got injured or something at some point, and Wormell had to come in, has 4 saves, no clean sheets, given up 2 goals. If you look at him on paper, which is all we can do at this point, the Rowdies have 4th most goals in the East. Tulsa is tied for 12th. When you're looking at goals conceded, the Rowdies are the 3rd best, have allowed the 3rd fewest goals. Tulsa has – given up the 5th most. They are very close to the bottom of the league in terms of conceding goals. Statistically, and this one's a little, I think this one, I want to just throw in a little disclaimer on this one. It sounds probably better for the Rowdies than it really is. Pass accuracy, the Rowdies are 6th. Tulsa's tied for 10th. That's a 2 percentage point difference. Rowdies have 81% pass accuracy and Tulsa's at 79. If you compare, like, Tulsa's, and part of this may be that they've played you know, one more game, they've completed, you know, there's more passing, there's Rowdies have more crosses, it's you know, very similar, it looks like, in terms of style of play. But percentage wise a lot of these categories, they are very close. One thing I think we might expect to see, or can expect to see, is a physical game, which I feel like we've had that with Tulsa in the past, in Tulsa and at Al Lang. Tulsa has conceded the 5th most fouls. Rowdies are tied with the 5th least, so you may have a situation. And I think some teams have tried to do this in the past when they're playing the Rowdies, especially when they come into Al Lang, is they want to kind of set the tone early and you know, get some hits in, maybe give up some fouls, possibly take a yellow early on, and try and set that tone and try and physically disrupt the Rowdies game plan. It's going to be on Tampa Bay to figure out a way around that, especially, like, you know, don't send Forrest Lasso out as the enforcer and automatically get him suspended. If we can avoid the yellow card for him, that's fine. Let Aaron Guillen take one. He's still on 6th, or anybody else, because they're all, they all have some room to pick up a yellow if they need to, but right. it would not surprise me to see Tulsa come out and try and set the tone physically, at least at the start of the game.
Yeah. I mean, again, to your point, if you look at the stats, these teams are pretty evenly matched up.
I mean, overall, through the season.
I mean, so that's why you have to look at the last five games.
I mean, to me, this is going to be a game of who wins the 50-50 balls.
Who enforces their will the most.
And I think that's going to win out at the end of the day.
I'd be curious to see what Dabo brings up, does he change it up?
From what Neil would have done, does he bring out that 11 back out again?
I'm not sure, but I do know whoever wins the 50-50 balls is going to win this game.
Tulsa, like you said, is a physical team.
They're not afraid to bring an attitude.
And the Rowdies, while typically don't give into that.
I mean, if they let Tulsa get into this game early, we're going to have problems.
You know, and that's true for any team, but we're going to have issues, especially against a physical team that's not afraid to get their foot in.
So, you know, the antidote to that, it seems like, and one of my favorite things to always try and say is a key to the game is get an early goal. Get an early goal and force them to play from behind where they can't necessarily be as physical because they've got to try and work to get that goal back. Yeah, an early goal, I think, for Tampa Bay is going to be the key, obviously, to not just winning the game because, you know, it helps to win games when you score goals, but to maybe take the pressure off them trying to be a little bit more physical. There should be a great crowd there this weekend for the Friday night stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. So hopefully the home field advantage will be a good home field advantage. I'm really, really bummed I can't be there for this one. But got to do some family stuff, so we'll
that's okay.
Family's important.
You can always catch the game on ESPN Plus.
I'm not sure where I'm actually going to be on Saturday night, but I will be tracking it at least, even if I'm not watching it directly. All right, let's make some predictions for this game. I don't know if we're going to make it to 30 minutes if we're being honest at this point. We're close.
I know,
and
man.
We're close, but it's just a testament to what happened to India.
I mean, look, that's off to them again. I'm giving the other props again.
Yeah,
which I hate doing, but you know, they played the game against us. Look, if you're not a soccer fan, this is not a game for non-soccer fans.
You're trying to get into soccer, this was not the game.
Sorry.
It is what it is. It was a defensive game.
There wasn't going to be many goals.
We'd hope for more, but. You didn't get it. Oh well.
If you're trying to get into a game, go watch the amazing script that was written in Miami on Friday night.
That was incredible.
Did you actually watch that one live?
Yeah, so we were at the bar watching they had the World Cup on and they had one TV on for the Miami game. And honestly, there was one of the guys at the bar we were joking around in the first half before he even, you know, came on as a sub. Said something about, you know, watch it come down to like a late messy goal to win the game or something. And it was like, yeah, I thought there was a screenwriter strike, but Apple got that one all put together. I don't want to do the conspiracy theory thing, but come on.
I know, right? Of anyone, any place to get that foul, to have one guy in the world of soccer be on that shot. I mean, of course, it's messy.
Like, you know, and so he almost, I'm at Shamrock, which is, if you've never been there, is beer only.
Yes.
But there's a bowling alley behind it that serves alcohol and stuff and liquor. And one of the traditions like to go out, especially at a game where it's still kind of close at halftime and, you know, do some shots for good luck. So as the group is heading out, and I'm too old for this now, and I didn't want to give up my seat at the bar because the place was packed for the World Cup. Although there were like three people there in pink jerseys and at one corner, like trying to make the Miami game a more important game, and it wasn't. So as they're heading out of the back of the bar at halftime, literally, I think he put one off the crossbar, or had a shot that was close, and I was like, you guys are all walking out the second he's going to score. And I think they came back, they were back in and saw the that goal. I'm glad it happened at halftime so I could watch it for a few minutes and then get back to the main event, which was the USA handily beating Vietnam, which was fun.
Did they hit it, though?
I think so. I mean, everyone's comparing it to the last World Cup where, you know, they had like, you know, 13 goals or whatever it was. Like, they had more chances, they had more opportunities. Like, there's definitely some rust in that first game.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I think there's also some players that, not many, but there's a couple that are on the bench that may be starters. And they talked about how they were going to manage Ertz's minutes and Trinity Rodman's minutes, which if you put her out there at full strength, her and Sophia Smith running around, it's just, it's going to be terrible for the other teams, which is good
for
me.
It's going to be funny for the next 14 years.
Oh, God. They, you know, every time the World Cup rolls around, there's always a talk about how, well, you know, other countries and other leagues are investing in everyone's improving. And then the U.S. had puts like Sophia Smith out there.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And then after the game, she's like, yeah, I was kind of nervous. This is my first start. Wait till she's comfortable.
Yeah, I know. Right.
It's like, and wait till she's comfortable.
Good Lord. I mean, that girl looks so natural on the ball. It's just scary.
And for having first game jitters, that's what she does, two goals in her first game ever.
Yeah.
And you know, I had a kind of a bad feeling when Morgan lined up for the penalty shot. I just had a weird feeling about it. But that Vietnam keeper had a really good game, which is not something you usually hear in a 3-0 loss. But she had some great saves from open play into the penalty stop there.
Well, considering it could have been a 6-0, 7-0 game, had she not played the game she did.
Yeah. Rapinoe was extremely rusty. Like, you know, she was looking, oh God, who was, oh, she was looking like, oh God, I just, the kid from Vegas, used to play for Atlanta in the Carlton. She was looking like Andrew Carlton, just putting shot after shot into the stands behind the goal. She'll get it together.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got
like Rose Lavelle, I think, had one or two that went off the post at one point. Like, that, there's so many goal scorers on this team. It's unbelievable.
Yes. And look,
okay, we are now stretched to 30 minutes.
Well, I was going to say, you run up a good point.
This is World Cup time. I want to make sure they get their piece here.
Yes, absolutely.
I want everyone to watch this World Cup.
There are some amazing women. Amazing teams out here.
There's been some great games. I know they're all hours.
Go back and watch the highlights. It's worth it.
There are talented women out here playing some beautiful soccer right now.
I'm just really, really hoping that the U.S. takes care of business on Wednesday night versus Netherlands, because that will pretty much decide the group based on the current standings. And then I won't have to get up at like 3 a.m. on a Wednesday to watch the U.S. Portugal game, which is like the last day of summer break before I have to go back to technically, like officially, legally have to go back to work the next day. I would much prefer to maybe sleep in and catch those highlights. But if I got to get up and watch it, then I got to get up and watch it. Damn. All right. Predictions for Rowdies in Tulsa.
All right, this might come as a bit of a shocker, but I think the guys get on the scoreboard often.
And I think we pull off a great win. I think we're due for it.
I think we've just been a little bit off. So I'm going for a 3-1 win at Rowdies.
Oh, I thought you were about to say 4-1 to the Lads.
Not quite. I'm not quite there yet.
I also am hoping, I'm as usual, predicating all this on an early goal. But yeah, I think being at home in front of a good crowd against a team that, although seems to be riding high right now, looks like it provides some opportunities. I'm going to say 3-0. You know, we saw John's tweet about Connor Sparrow and his performance so far since getting into his groove, getting back from his injury.
Great.
So I'm gonna ride the good karma from some John stats and a good night in front of a good crowd. I'm gonna say 3-0 for the Rowdies.
I like it.
All right. So you'll be out there Saturday night.
I will be there for sure.
Nice. I will be watching from afar, but hopefully chiming in here and there and providing some thoughts and some reactions. And then. What, they're on the road again next week, and then they come back the next home game, not this home game, next home game. I'll be there. All right, let's wrap it up, get out of here. Any last words for everyone?
No, other than you've already said it.
Happy birthday to Dan, and we love you, and I hope you have a special day, my friend.
Yeah, we have to say it again at the end because he's at the age now where he's probably already forgotten that we said it earlier in the show.
Very true.
Plus,
we'll say it a little louder too.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Yeah, gotta get that. Gotta get it past that little piece of plastic in his ear. He likes to pretend it's an AirPod, but we know the truth. Happy birthday, Dan. Hopefully get to see, talk to you soon. Ben, same thing. Hopefully get to see and talk to you soon. We'll do sometime next week. And then I'm going to be back on the school schedule and things are going to get really weird. And we'll have to figure it out from there. All right. Good talking to you again. We'll do this again next week. Come on, you rowdies.
Come on, you rowdies.
You rowdies.
The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies run here, the